Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
I want to welcome all of you who are joining us online, on air, wherever you are. Thank you for being a part of this celebration service. But today, I want to celebrate all of you who are gathered in your small groups to celebrate Jesus together. As we say here at Watoto, that life is better together. Now, this is week number two as we continue in our brand new series, The Blessed Life, to prepare us for My Miracle Missions offering next weekend. I'm so excited because every year we get to give a sacrificial offering that is for advancing God's kingdom. For more information on how you can participate in this offering, go to our website, watotochurch.com. Now, last week, Pastor Julius laid a wonderful foundation for this series. He said, if we are going to live a blessed life, we must put God's kingdom first. From that wonderful verse in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus said, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Now, this verse happens to be a theme verse this year. In essence, Jesus was saying, if we prioritize His kingdom by investing our time, treasure, and talents, God would take care of the things that we need in our lives. You see, friends, God wants you and I to live a blessed life. And a blessed life is a life that is known for extravagant generosity. You see, Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. That is a beautiful verse that I'm going to illustrate this way, and I believe you'll never forget this verse. In boxing, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. You see, a blessed life is a life that is marked by generosity. Now today, I'm going to share with you a principle from God's Word that will empower you and I to live a blessed life. And this principle is the principle of the firstborn, or the first fruits, or the principle of the tithe. But before we explore this principle, I want to give you the heart that is behind this principle. The heart that is behind the principle of the firstborn, the first fruits, and the tithe is God must be first. I will say that again. God must be first. God must be a priority. Like the old saying that goes, first things first. God must be first, because anything else will lead you and I into bondage. Let me show you why I believe that God wants to be first in the area of our finances so you and I can live a blessed life. Now, after saving and delivering the children of Israel from Egypt, God gave them the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. Simply, God was saying, put me first. You see, it's very easy for us to say that in our day-to-day, people don't have idols. We don't bow down to any, idols. But idolatry is alive today. Because whatever you put before God, whatever you put first, is what you worship. Whatever you put first is what gives you a sense of identity. And whatever you worship is your God, and eventually it becomes your master. Unfortunately, the very things that we put before God, the very things that we put first, end up enslaving us. Because God created us to worship Him and Him alone. When we put anything before God, it ends up becoming our master. And let me tell you this, the things that God has created can never become good masters. Only God is our true benevolent master. Isn't it true that many of us have been enslaved by the things that we pursue in life, thinking that it will bring true satisfaction? For example, some people have made career pursuit as the goal in life. They want to go right to the top, but the moment you reach the top, you realize there are more tops to go to. Some people have made the pursuit of money the goal of their lives. And the Bible warns us clearly that the love of money, not money, the love of money is the root of all evil. And many single people today have made marriage their pursuit for life. They believe that if they stay as single people, if they are not married, they cannot be complete human beings. I want to let you know that when we put things before God, we will never be satisfied, because only God can truly satisfy us. He created you, He created me to worship only Him, because God is after your heart. God is for your joy. And the very first principle that you and I must grasp, if we are going to live blessed lives, lives that are marked by extravagant generosity. Again, it is the principle of the firstborn, or the first fruit, or the tithe. And this is because when we practice this principle, the principle of the tithe, we demonstrate that God is first in our finances, and this will release us to live in the blessings of God. Let us explore what this principle looks like. The firstborn. Now, before God carried out the deliverance of the Israelites from Egypt, in Exodus chapter 13, verse 2, He said, "Consecrate to me every firstborn male. The first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether human or animal." Let me read in the NKJV as well. He said, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both man and beast, it is mine." God declared to His children that every firstborn male of any animal or human belongs to Him. Why? It is because God is a true owner of everything. We are simply stewards. When you put anything before God, remember, it will end up enslaving us. And then in Exodus 13, 11 to 14, He says this: "After the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and gives it to you, as He promised on oath to you and your ancestors, you are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. Redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey. But if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons. In the days to come, when your children, when your son asks you, 'What does this mean?' say to him, 'With a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery.'" God told His children to always give Him the firstborn, because God must be first. Anything else that takes that place ends up enslaving us. And I love verse 14, where He says, "When your children see you doing this act of sacrifice, being generous to God, tell them this. Remind them that while we were in bondage, we were slaves. We had no freedom. We were mistreated, but now we have been set free. We are God's property. We belong to God. And everything that we do, we must honor God first. The firstborn belongs to God." You see, the reason that we give tithes to God is to remind us that God is first in our lives, not money. It is also to remind us that God is our true source, and that we belong to Him, and that He delivered us from sin, and we are grateful for the lives that we are living today. Now, you may be asking, why the firstborn? Why not the secondborn or the tenth born? You see, God didn't tell them, "When your cow delivers 10 calves, give me one." No, He said the firstborn. And this is why. It takes faith to give your firstborn before you know that your cow can produce any other. Because our relationship with God is based on faith. It's based on trusting God. In fact, the book of Hebrews chapter 11 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. We demonstrate that we trust God when we give Him our very first. when we offer the firstborn or the first tenth in terms of our tithe. You see, it is not faith when you wait for your cow to produce many calves and then you produce one. It is not faith to give God your pocket change after you have met all your needs, because at that moment, your pocket is your source. But it takes faith when you bring the firstborn to God. And God wants us to trust Him as our provider, because He is our true provider. Our businesses, our farms, our friends are not our providers. God is our provider. And God doesn't want us to trust in stuff, in the things that He has created. God wants us to trust in Him because He is our God. He is our source. He is our Father. He is for us. He doesn't want His stuff to enslave us. And then the principle of the first fruits. For crop farming communities, God asked them to offer first fruits. In Exodus 23, verse 19, this is what God said. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of your God. Now, note a couple of things here. He says the first of the first fruits, not the second, not the third, not the tenth portion. He said the first. Remember, God must be first, because anything else ends up enslaving us. Like the principle of the firstborn, when it comes to crop farming communities, they were to bring the first of the first fruits. Remember, it also takes faith to offer the first of the first fruits. And then he says, where do you put the first fruits? Into the house of God. In the Old Testament, that was the temple. Today, it is the local church where you are nurtured spiritually. And the book of Proverbs highlights the same principle in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 to 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now, what I love about this verse is it puts the blessing after we have obeyed God. In other words, when we honor God with our first fruits, God says He's going to bless us. Because if God can get it through you, God is going to give it to you. So what have we seen so far? God asks His children to put Him first. And we demonstrate this in our lives today when we offer the first tenth in our tithes and offerings. You see, the tithe means a tenth. It means that God's people are supposed to bring a tenth of their increase to God. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, he said, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough to store it." Note three things here. The first is the tithe was to be brought to the house of God. The second thing is, this is the only place in Scripture where God says, "Test me in this." Because He understands that the tithe is a test for every believer. Then thirdly, He says, "I'm going to bless you when you pass this test." You see, friends, tithing demonstrates that God is first in our finances. And this releases us to live in the blessings of God. So every time you get an increase in your finances, God is saying, "Would you return 10% to the house of God?" And when you bring it to the house of God, God says He's going to bless you. Now, most of us in our day-to-day, we are not farmers. We are salary earners. That means at the end of the month, when you get your paycheck, you get the first 10% before you pay your rent, before you pay your school fees. You must get that 10% and return it to God again. It demonstrates that your faith is in God, not in your job. You see, the tithe is the ultimate test for every believer. Now, you must be asking the question, if God owns everything, why would God ask for 10% of my money? First and foremost, let me say this. It's not your money because it all belongs to God. But let me answer that question this way. God is not after your money. God is after your heart. Remember I said, if God is not first, money will enslave your heart. The tithe is the ultimate test of the heart of every believer. And God wants you to be fully focused on Him as your true source. And I know we are living in difficult times today. But I want to let you know this. God is your true source. Not your job, not your business, not even your family member, not even your friend. God is your source. Are you going to trust Him or are you going to trust in your efforts? God wants to bless you so you can be a blessing. You see, God wants to use you in this season to display what He can do through His church. You see, Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, He said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I know many people read this verse in the reverse. They say, where your heart is, there your treasure is also. No, it's not true. It's where your treasure is, there your heart is also. In other words, our hearts follow our treasure. And I'm going to illustrate it this way. You know, a couple of probably months ago, as a family, we invested some of our monies in a company to get some interest for a future project. And guess what? Every month, I'm always waiting for that statement to see how much interest we have earned. Every time I see the name of that company in the news, I pay attention because I don't want to lose our money. You know what's happening here? My heart is in that company. In the same way, God wants us to put our treasure in His kingdom, to invest in His work so that our hearts will also be in His kingdom. Remember, when we seek His kingdom first, He will bring every other thing to follow us. You see, practicing the principle of the tithe demonstrates that God is first in our finances, and this will release you and I to live in God's blessing. When we pass this test of tithing by putting God first, then we are ready for the next level because God wants you and I to excel in generosity. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 8, Paul says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And then God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. What is the good work that Paul is talking about here? The work of generosity, of expanding the kingdom of God. God wants to bless you so you can be a blessing. It begins when you begin to return the Lord's tithe consistently. And by returning the Lord's tithe, you are demonstrating that God is first in your finances. And this will release God to entrust you with more of His wealth. Now, as I land this plane, I just want to give you this wonderful illustration that I read from a book, The Blessed Life by Robert Morris. And I believe it's going to punctuate what I'm talking about today. And this is what he put in his book. I love this illustration. Imagine I have to go on an extended journey. And I choose three men for a special responsibility. I said to those three men, I'm going to send each one of you $10,000 every month. You may keep $9,000 and spend it as you please. But I want you to give $1,000 each month to my wife to meet her needs. As promised, I send each of these men $10,000 monthly. After a few months, I call my wife and ask her if she's receiving the support I had arranged. And her reply is, well, the first one is sending $1,000 each month, just as you instructed him. The second one is actually sending $2,000 each month. I don't know why, but he is. But the third one sent $800 in the first month, and then $300 in the second month, and ever since, he's not sent any other money. Now, as a husband who loves his wife so much, what do you think I'm going to do? I'm the one providing this money for the three men. I just asked them to just send 10% of the $10,000 to my wife so that she has enough food to keep her healthy. Well, with the first man who was being faithful to follow my instruction, I'm going to continue sending $10,000 every month. But for the third man, the one who wasn't satisfied with the 90% that I graciously gave him, I'm going to quit sending him $10,000 a month and send what I was sending him to the one who was generous. Do you know why? Because I can trust the second man. He has demonstrated that he cares about what I care about. That is my wife. He is a good steward. What the third man was doing is the same as stealing from me. Wow. God will entrust you with more if you can be trusted with the tithe. As I've said before, when we practice the principle of the tithe, we demonstrate that God is first. And this releases us to live in God's blessing. You see, friends, God is a good father. He is for your joy. And he loves you so much. He is your source. And he wants to bless you so you can be a blessing. And this same God can never ask us to do something that he has never done. In fact, in John 3:16, we see that God loves you and I so much that he gave his very best, his one and only son, so that whoever could believe in this son would not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you while you are still a sinner. In fact, Paul in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, he says, God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Today, I want to invite you into a relationship with your Heavenly Father. He loves you so much. And Jesus died to redeem you, to buy you back from captivity to sin. And at this very moment, if you believe in your heart you're a sinner and you want to be saved from your sin, God is right there with you. He wants to give you eternal life. Would you bow your heads and let's pray together? Repeat after me. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. Today, I receive your forgiveness. I receive eternal life. I choose you, and I choose to follow you every day of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Congratulations. If you pray that prayer from your heart, the Bible says you are a child of God and welcome to God's family. Do let us know by sending us an email at connect@wototochurch.com or just click that link in the message section if you're watching online and we will get back to you once again. Welcome home. Welcome to God's family.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@wototochurch.com.